Welcome to the Watchman's Cry Remnant Watcher, the program that equips the saints and prepares God's people for the return of Christ.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, a saga of the disclosure of the beginning of the tribulation period through the roadway of the coronavirus scam deception. Wow, that's a mouthful. Anyway, welcome to the program today, folks, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day from going out and about and running errands, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to Allison and I bring you some very important information. And that was a joke, Allison. I have Allison right here. Allison, are people going out on errands right now? Probably not, right?
Not really, right? Everybody's stuck at home. Everybody's trying to deal with the situation right now.
Everyone's dealing with the madness and people are going stir crazy. We have been seeing YouTubes of moms complaining that they're sick of their kids. And didn't you tell me that the divorce rates are going up because people are... They're not used to being around each other that long. And
not really. Nobody has privacy anymore or is stuck in the house and has to... I feel for the parents out there that are stuck with their kids in apartments with the stay-at-home order. I feel for you, especially if they're smaller, you know, so difficult to keep them occupied and not getting into trouble, right?
Yes. And we're hitting the ground running. Here we are with part two of our installment about the coronavirus. And this is going to be an ongoing regular series, I guess, because that's what time it is. That's what's going on in the world. And I have Allison here with me, and we're going to bring you a lot of information today, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for taking the time to listen. Share this program with everyone that you know. Share it with them so that we can get the word out to try to make sense of this madness, of this insanity, of this great event that's taking place. We're going to be talking about what it is, what it might be, and what some of the theories are. There's a lot of theories, Allison. They're all over the place. Yep. And so we are trying to be wise to make sense of the theories so that we can hold on to the right ones and dismiss the wrong ones, or maybe put some of them on the table. And until we get more information, it's fluid, isn't it, Allison? This thing is developing. But I think without a doubt, there can be no argument if you're a Christian, my friend, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, if you're a born again believer, what we're watching right now sure looks very similar to what we read in Bible prophecy about the end times. In Revelation, the rise of the beast, the rise of the New World Order system, all those things that we have been anticipating seem to be coming together, and something is incubating in the earth right now. That thing is incubating, and Allison and I have been seeking the Lord. We've been trying to make sense of it. We've prayed. We've asked for wisdom. We've looked into the scriptures. Allison, it looks like we're watching prophecy before our eyes.
Yeah, all our friends on Facebook, anybody who follows us, we can read everything, and we like to read what you guys are writing or sending us, and it seems like everybody basically knows now what time we're in. And everybody has a sense of it. And there's always this slight excitement. Everybody's been waiting for it finally to happen. But at the same time, nobody really wants it to happen, right? There's this tickling inside of us. Oh, wow, it's finally starting. But at the same time, everybody's thinking, I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. I don't want this to start. I don't want things to get bad. And I feel the same way.
We do feel the same way, right, Allison? We didn't know it was going to happen this way. I did not see this one coming.
No. This took us completely by surprise. And it's kind of sobering when you look back how quickly this took place and how fast our world has changed.
January 1st, it was like day one out of the gate, right?
Yeah. And it's scary, actually, when you think about how quickly our world can change. And, you know, if we're caught by surprise and we're not prepared, then we're in a bad place.
We are in a bad place. And so is there still time to prepare for the next phase? How many pages does this plan entail that's happening right now? I think that we're at the very beginning stages of a long plan that's going to take several weeks and months and maybe even years for that beast system. Now, we as Christians call it the beast system, but the world has other names for it. They call it sustainable development. Goals 2030, the Agenda 2030, the United Nations agenda to get the world in a different place. And we're going to be going into that. We're going to be talking about it. You know, folks, I always thought for the last 12 years, I have come to this microphone and shared that I did anticipate, just like you guys did, we have anticipated that Revelation 13 at some point was going to happen when that beast rises out of the sea. But I had speculated, and I've shared this, it's on record, and now it looks like at this point I was wrong, but I thought the beast was going to rise up out of a war, maybe a world war,
yeah,
and that was going to make the beast rise up. But now it looks like the beast is rising up out of a pestilence. But we're not done yet, because war could come out of this. And Jesus did say in Matthew 24, he gave us the outline of the end times. He said there would be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, plagues, and earthquakes. So we're going to talk about that, Allison, the famine, yes, and the pestilence. Those two things, I don't think a lot of us, including myself, how many of us have actually dissected the anatomy of a pestilence and how a famine comes about and what the nuts and bolts of a famine entail? What is required for the world to have a famine? But it looks like we're about to enter a famine, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk about that. There's a lot of things that are happening, Allison, and
every day we get new news from all corners of the world, and every day we're bombarded on the media with all that's going on, and we have the alternative media, of course, that we can turn to as well to hear some other voices, and there's a lot of scary things out there right now in the ether.
There is. So what's the truth, and which information do we follow? I think that maybe at this point, wisdom would require that we keep our ear to the ground, we keep our eyes on the horizon, and we keep our spiritual ears open and our hearts open and seeking and open to God to try to have hearts that can hear the Holy Spirit as well as the right information. Because this thing, it's a matter of life and death, Allison. People are dying and people are going to die. And I think that we're at the very beginning of, sadly, a lot of death is coming. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the truth of this thing, this coronavirus. In the previous program, I had mentioned that Allison was given some dreams by God. So we're going to go into those on this program. And to start out, Allison, let's open up with a word of prayer so that the listeners and us can be on the same page. Let's ask God to open our hearts. And listener, if you're out there, just pray along with us. And let's ask God to open our eyes while we look at this. And if some of you get any information after this program, you can share it with us and we'll try to pass it along. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for this program. And Lord, we ask you to help us to look at your truth, open our eyes, let us be able to see with wisdom, Lord, with your understanding, and be able to understand your words of truth and your prophecies and what you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we are, what's the month?
We don't even know. We're messed up. We're in April, Nathan.
Isn't it amazing? Because we're in lockdown, the days mix together, and it's like, what's today? Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, what's going on? Allison and I have now been here together in Idaho about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who might not have heard the previous program, she made it from Germany, from Berlin. Last month, we arrived on the 8th, March 8th, and we got married on March 9th. So we have been married for a little over a month. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And wow, what a way to start a new chapter of life in the middle of a plague pandemic, maybe even the beginning of the tribulation. Well, I guess Jesus said it, right? People would be married and given in marriage. Yeah. Even to the very end, and here you go, right?
Yep.
I praise God for Allison, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank for those of you who helped to get her back here to the States. I appreciate that, and just keep remembering us in prayer, ladies and gentlemen, because we do have a lot more prayer requests and needs as well. So, moving forward, now here we are. We're in a lockdown. We arrived in early March, and within days, the country went into lockdown. Pretty much the whole world into lockdown. Over the last few weeks, we have watched the world change. We have watched our life as we knew it here in the United States or the West or wherever you may live turn into a movie, a Hollywood movie. Allison, whenever we go out and we venture out, You've heard me ask the people over and over, do you feel like you're in a movie? And everyone says the same thing, don't they?
Yep.
We are. And then I ask them, which one is it?
Which one is it? Yeah.
What movie are we in, right?
Yeah.
Is it one of those horror movies or thrillers or one with like 2012 with John Cusack?
Was that John Cusack?
In the limo trying to get away from the
that was him.
Broken California.
Yeah, that's right.
Falling into the ocean. Is it a Stephen King movie that we're in? I mean,
please not.
Right? But ladies and gentlemen, it's surreal what we are all facing. And every day, if you happen to turn on the TV, there's a daily report from the White House. Donald Trump gets up with his task force, and then he allows his little spokesman, that little guy, Anthony Fauci, which we're going to talk about on this program. He gives his report, and he talks about the numbers, and there's these technical terms and these medical terms that we are also being exposed to about the leveling of the curve, the herd immunity. I've heard that one. Allison, up until a few weeks ago, I don't think most people thought what PPE was, personal protective equipment. They didn't think about that.
No.
They didn't wonder about those things. And now here we are, social distancing. That's a new term that has been, it's a buzzword now, a coined term. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the propaganda and the programming. And
everybody's being programmed to fear one another and to suspect each other of having the virus. And you probably can notice this too when you're in the supermarket. You know, you're in one aisle and then you have to pass somebody and you just hurry on. Maybe you even hold your breath when you pass somebody real quickly and everybody's like, sorry, sorry. And then you look at people and you start wondering, you know, do they have it? And even if you don't really buy into this whole thing, it's still has a hold on you. You know, you still feel weird when people get close to you. You feel like you want to tell them, can you please step back a bit? You know, you're getting too close to me. You know, before all of this, we would happily grab onto the cart, even though we knew that it was filthy and dirty with all these weird bacteria. But now, you know, we make sure that it's disinfected. You know,
we do really spray it.
Yeah.
Smear it. And
you know, some people even spray down their items from the shopping cart when they get home.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are doing that. They're cleaning everything and spraying it down. And we haven't been doing that, but we've been sanitizing our hands.
Yes, a lot. They're cracked, right? Yeah. Dry. You know, that's funny what you said about holding. I've done that, Allison. And, and that was funny. The other day we were in Safeway and we passed some people and you looked at me and you said, I just held my breath. And I laughed because I did it too.
You know, even if you're not really buying into all of it and you're not believing 100%, you're still part of it. And that fear is even, you know, it's even with you if you don't really believe.
And for those who would say Christians aren't supposed to fear, well, how about vigilant concern?
Yeah, that would be maybe the better term.
You know, trying to just be careful or what if.
Not
what if,
fear,
right?
Not fear. Or we all have turned into hypochondriacs. I mean,
right?
maybe you've noticed this too, that the slightest cough or the slightest pressure on your chest or the slightest feeling of warmth on your head and you feel like, oh no, did I get it?
Or you hear your family member cough. Or
yeah, you hear your family member cough.
I coughed the other day from the other room and you, are you okay, right?
Right.
Or when I hear you or you
it's
hear your
crazy.
Son cough.
Oh no, I know, right? It's crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, some of you probably can relate to what we're saying, and we're not trying to promote fear.
No.
And we don't believe that we're supposed to have fear. We don't. But we're talking about this to illustrate that this thing is doing a work on the entire planet, on all the citizens. It has people very concerned, Allison. A lot of people are fearful. We're fortunate. We live in the country. We can go outside, and we have a large yard, so you have the opportunity to walk, to get outside. There's not an apartment right next to us, which is fortunate, but there are some people who are in apartment buildings and you got to take your dog out to go to the bathroom. And this level of intensity and vigilance, it's just wearing people out and it's making people tired and it's doing a number. And you know, when people operate at a high level of concern and worry like that, it messes with your health, the cortisol levels, the stress levels, and it brings people's ability to fight off sickness, it lowers it. The immune system gets attacked. And right now this fear is doing a number on people. So on top of that, we're coming into the spring. So some people may be experiencing hay fever or allergies because it's a normal thing, but they're misidentifying or associating some of the symptoms. Oh no, my nose is running. My head hurts, headache. And people might go to the doctor. And then what? When they go to the doctors, What do the doctors tell them? And we're going to also talk about that as well. It's not what we're being told, folks, and we will go into it. But I just want to give a quick summary of where we are right now. And I want to just say this real quick. I have a few things I've written down right here. Allison, when the 08 crash happened, it began at the end of September. I remember back then when the stock market went down negative 777. And it was a big deal at the time. And a lot of people talked about it. Christians looked at it and said, wow, that's the hand of God sending a message that this judgment is his sovereignty and he's allowing it to happen. And so that was 12 years ago. And here we are now with the next phase of something that is going to dwarf that. Because at the onset of that crash, it started, and every day we could look at the stock market and the DAX and all of the indexes throughout the world, and they were red, they were in the negative. But the amount of loss that the stock market experienced back then was nothing compared to what we've already witnessed. The stock market has already lost 30 to 40%. They're saying it's in a bear market. And then on top of that, the unemployment numbers in the 08 crash hit 15 million officially, 15 million over the course of months. 15 million, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that gave us a 9 to 10% unemployment, which is what they kept claiming. I believed that it was higher. Now, that's where we hit back then. Already, here we are, just 1 month into this lockdown, and the unemployment claims in the last 4 weeks are at 22 million, which is 7 million more than the entirety of the 08 crash. We have surpassed it by almost 30%, 25-30%. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the beginning of a huge demolition of the world economy, and this thing is just getting started. I have read the reports that this is not going to just be a recession. We are entering, if we're not there already, into a depression that's going to dwarf the 1930 depression from the last century. We're going to see a depression, folks. It's going to affect the entire planet. So that's something we have to be facing. And in the previous program, Allison, we talked about, you know, the white horse?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
The crown was given to that horse. The corona was given to that horseman on the white horse. He went out and he conquered the whole world with a bow and no arrows. So without the firing of one shot, the entire world was conquered. That's what's happening right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if we were to look at what's going on in the world and look at the signs of the times and what's in front of our eyes, there can be no argument that the world's being conquered right now. That the world has been conquered without war, and it's been done by a sickness with the name of a crown, the same as the white horse. Now, we have to be careful that we don't guess and try to speculate things that aren't true, but by examining this, it sure looks like the white horse has been released out of the stall of heaven. That celestial creature, that spirit, is being allowed to be released. You know, in Revelation 1, it says, and the voice said, come and see, look. So God said, look. Look what's happening. Look what has been released on the earth. God's allowing this. So the big picture of what's going on is that God is allowing this to happen. And based on what we're watching, this is his divine plan. It's Bible prophecy. That first horseman has been released. And if so, Allison, if it has been released, and if we can admit to ourselves that it sure looks like it, I don't want it to be. Because no. I don't want to be there yet. I don't. I want more time.
I don't either. I mean, we just got married.
And but of course, at the same time, we want to see Jesus come back. Yes. We want the return. So the natural part of us and versus the spirit, right? The natural and I think folks can relate.
Yeah.
People have grandkids, and we know in order to get to the return of Jesus, there's going to be some pain.
Yes.
So if that first horse has been released, then we have to use our spiritual common sense and wisdom and also look at what the other horses are going to do.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Allison, can you turn to Revelation 6 and let's look at what it says the other horses are going to be? Because, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bibles, you can read this in your Bible, Revelation chapter 6, the first 8 verses, 6, 1 through 8.
Okay. This is the New King James Version. So I have, this is the first seal, the conqueror. So Revelation 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer.
Okay, that part is happening, right?
Yes.
Allison, we can agree the corona is the crown, and it's conquering, the whole world's being conquered right now.
Yes.
So if that's happening, then what's the next one to come? Oh boy, keep going.
Okay, second seal, conflict on earth. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword.
So far, up to this point, the world has been in chaos. There's a lot of confusion. There's a fear about the virus. People don't want to die, so they are obeying the orders to lock down and to stay safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are willingly allowing their family businesses to erode to nothing, to vaporize into nothing, and to go bankrupt to stay alive. So they're being conquered.
Yes.
But at some point, people are going to start asking questions. Like, is this thing actually what they're telling us?
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are going to start asking the question of who's behind it, who we need to blame someone. And at this point, there are some whisperings that are now starting to come forth about the United States is saying that China let it loose from their Wuhan lab, the bioweapons lab in Wuhan. And the listeners by now have heard all about it. There's a biological lab in Wuhan, and they're saying it got released from there. It wasn't from the bats or the market. It was from that lab. So I have right here a soundbite, and I want to play this, Ellison. And, you know, the second horse is red. And that's war. So how can war come out of this event that's happening right now? Will war occur out of this? According to the Bible, it says it will. So Lou Dobbs made a comment just a day or two ago, and I'm going to play this clip. Allison, listen to this. Okay, here we go.
This turns out to be a biological weapon, KT. If this happens to be a conscious and overt act on the part of the Chinese military, and we know that biological warfare is part of their military doctrine, a significant part, just as cyber warfare or any other. If this were to turn out to be that, what should be the response? Because I'm not interested in 2 and 3 year programs, as I said to former Congressman Jason Chaffetz. This country is not operating in the 21st century if we think we've got time to retool, reposition, repurpose. We have to have an answer now. If we don't go to war over the loss of 31,000 now, and certainly more to come, 31,000 American lives. What do we go to war over? When do we quit sending strong letters and talking tough? At what point are there consequences for this kind of behavior? Because whether they did it intentionally or not, we do know this, that
they did it.
That virus was unleashed on the world, and they lied. And that is the same as making it an intentional and conscious act of warfare, as far as I'm concerned.
That was Lou Dobbs saying that we have to go to war. The second horse is war. And at some point, there's going to be a blame game. We can see it coming. And we have been trying to make sense of it, ladies and gentlemen. Alice and I have been digging. We have been looking at a lot of research.
Yes.
We have been inundated with a lot of information from some of you have sent us messages and emails and Facebook messages. So we appreciate all of you who are contributing to try to make sense of this. And nothing is as it seems. We have the threat of pestilence, of people dying. And on top of that, we have war being threatened. So the second horseman is war. And Allison, go ahead and finish reading that, because then I'm going to comment on the developments that are actually coinciding with these horsemen.
Okay, now the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth.
Wow. A fourth of the earth. That's out of the gate. Okay, we're hearing about the states are going to start opening up the economies and the lockdown's going to subside in some areas depending on where they are with the curve, the leveling of the curve. Donald Trump gave his model for states to follow, and each state, depending on the amount of infections they have, will impose the model and open up their businesses and their commerce depending on what they feel the need warrants. Now, with that said, if we were to look at that, it all sounds good. Oh, neato. They're going to start letting businesses back.
Mm-hmm.
But some states are saying that they're not going to open up till the end of next month. Some are saying the middle of next month. Every week that the country stays in lockdown, and not just the United States, that world businesses all around the world stay in lockdown, it's destroying the world economy. I've been looking at some reports of what the outcome of this and what we are observing with this, and with the coronavirus infections, the numbers are growing every day. And we talked about this in the last program, how the supply chain from the ground, agriculture, or animals, meat, the animals go to the processing plants and they have to get processed. And there's several steps to get it to the store and to the table. And then agriculture, same thing, gets harvested, goes to the warehouse, distribution, trucking, all that. So whether it's produce or meat, people are involved and there's several steps, but already we are hearing about, in both of those categories, food is rotting on the ground. There is a report that I have right here. Produce is rotting on the ground, and not just a little bit of produce. We're talking billions of dollars of produce is not being picked because the workers either don't want to show up and pick, or they don't feel the need to, or they're afraid to go out, or they're in lockdown. There's a variety of reasons, but the end game, the end result is that food's not getting to the stores. So the people who go to the store right now to get food are buying food that's already been processed, harvested, and distributed, delivered from warehouses. But what about after this portion is used up, this supply? What's going to happen to the supply line as it goes down? Okay, so I'm going to play this report. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Fresh produce is increasingly going to waste as the coronavirus outbreak wreaks havoc on the nation's supply chains. Farmers are finding it difficult to sell their products, and distributors are struggling to redirect food quickly, with restaurants, schools, and offices closed. News reports in recent days have been rife with stories about farmers leaving produce to rot in the fields, even as Americans see empty shelves at grocery stores, and food banks say they are overwhelmed by requests for assistance. Experts and industry groups say that the changes brought on by the pandemic, which has shut down huge swaths of the economy and kept millions at home, can't easily be accommodated by the complex supply chain networks already in place. The Produce Marketing Association estimates that about $5 billion in fresh fruit and vegetables have already been wasted.
All right, now $5 billion so far. And then there's reports coming out about one of the biggest pork processing plants in North Dakota had over 500 workers reportedly come down with coronavirus. And so they had to shut that thing down. Tyson Foods down in the south has shut down one or two plants. I think they shut down a chicken processing plant and also a pork one. And then there's one in Colorado, a very large one in Colorado that had to shut down because of the same thing. So these reports are coming out all over the country. And if processing plants are not processing meat, you know, we were in Safeway and we were looking around. You remember that? And yes, we were making note of that. You said it yourself. You said, Nathan, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, there was a lot less there. It was just unusual. Usually, you know, there's so much to choose from. And when we went, certain areas were just empty. And meat was actually quite scarce, right? I mean, usually there's so much right there. And then there was not very much to choose from. And we're looking at each other.
Going, what's going on?
Yeah, and taking and note.
The prices were higher, too, for ground beef. Yeah. The eggs have gone up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they have.
So, the horseman, the famine, a day's wages for bread. And I'm sure some people could say, well, right now I can go and get it. Listen, when we arrived last month on March the 8th and we were driving home and we were between Seattle and here where we live, we went by that city that we mentioned, Ellensburg, and we went into the Safeway and they had everything at the time. We bought minimal.
Yeah.
But if we would have known that the world was going to look this way in just 4 weeks, we probably would have gotten a few extra things, right?
Mm.
So the way that the markets look now and the shelves look now and the stock of inventory now in the grocery stores, just because it's there now does not mean it's going to look this way in a month from now.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
True.
So Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that who can, make note of this. And if you can, buy some extra food now, whatever methods or what you can afford.
Just a little bit every time, you know, just put a couple of extra little things in there.
I would advise that and, you know, seek God about it. But based on what we're looking at, when the dust settles and the markets open back up, I can anticipate there's going to be a false sense of calm or security or relief from a lot of people. They're going to be thinking, oh, everything's opened up good, when it's not opened up all the way, but some people will feel that. But we're only in wave number one. We have been looking, Allison, at the reports. They're predicting three different waves and even four different waves. There's going to be another wave of the corona come, according to them, this fall. So it's going to start up all over again. And another wave is then going to go to the southern hemisphere because winter's starting down there. So it's going to go back and forth. And they're saying three to four waves over the course of 18 to 24 months. And I want to talk about that in a little bit. But the rumors, the fears, the models, the unknown, there's so much that we are facing right now. And all the listeners out there are facing the same thing. Everyone has their own particular personal challenge. They have their battle. They're all trying to navigate this thing in the best manner possible. But we're just 1 month into this. I saw one report that said if the lockdown goes beyond May the 1st, we can expect an unemployment rate of 33% and 25% of all businesses to be bankrupt if the country doesn't open up in 2 weeks. There are some Midwest states who are saying they're not going to open up till the end of next month. As I heard this report that most restaurants have a savings liquidity, money in the bank, of only 2 weeks to survive for 2 weeks. And now here we are 4 weeks into it. So how many businesses are not going to be open when this, when the dust settles, Allison? We're going to see empty shopping malls. We're going to strip malls, bankruptcies. People aren't buying cars. They're saying that the real estate market is going to hit numbers that were from 1990, the crash that's coming in the real estate market there. I saw another report. They're expecting 25 to 30% of people to default and on their mortgages in the coming months. Unless there's some sort of magic money bag that comes out of the sky, that $1,200 stimulus that people are getting is
ridiculous. Laughable.
It is, right?
What are you going to do with that? It might just cover your food costs and some little things, you know.
Or your rent.
Or your rent for 1 month, maybe, if you're lucky and you have a cheap rent.
Right. So we are looking at a financial tsunami, ladies and gentlemen, that is unparalleled. We've never seen anything like this. The world is being conquered right now. If we are wise, we can see the timestamp of what we're observing. But then if we want to also try to make sense of it, then we have to ask the questions. There's a lot of questions. And I've been thinking about this, Allison. I've been thinking, okay, if this isn't Bible prophecy, what is it? What is the motive behind this? Is this just a combination of coincidental events that came together and coincidentally the entire planet is doing the same thing and locking down their areas? I don't believe that, because when we look at the methods of the lockdown, for example, you're in contact with German friends and family. Isn't it interesting, Allison, that they're using the same terms, the same words, exactly. Essential businesses, essential. Yes. They're using social distancing, the 6 foot thing.
Everything's the same.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
They have the same strips on the floor in the supermarkets. They have the same.
In Germany, they do?
Oh, yeah. They have the same.
The stickers.
Those stickers that mark off the distances.
Is that what you've been told?
Yeah. It looks exactly the same. They have lines outside. You basically have a bouncer in front of the supermarket who, you know, one in, one out. Or they have a ticker and they count how many people are inside and you have to wait. And they'll let one in at a time and you have to wait for, let's say, a minute or something before you can enter.
Really?
Yeah, that's... it's the same thing. Same thing.
The bouncer. Here.
Yeah, you have the supermarket bouncer.
We went into Home Depot last week and the bouncer was there.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. When people would wait outside, remember in the 80s, get all dressed up. Yeah. Let me in.
Yeah.
I have the right shoes on and the right clothing. Let me in. I'm cool enough to be in your... So now it's a whole different game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a game, though. And everyone's going along with it. And when we opened the show a few minutes ago, Allison, you stated how even though we don't want to think that way, we find ourselves going along with that mindset. Are they safe? Are they not? Is it real? I don't know. I don't want to get it, though.
Right?
So what is the truth? There are so many questions, and I've been wondering about this.
You all probably have.
Yeah, the listeners have been wondering about it themselves, and I know a lot of people have opinions, and there are a few, and I'm wanting to talk about a few of them, but how many phases are we looking at? How long is this really going to last? Because there have been reports that we have come across where they say that this thing can last 18 months to 3 years, but they're not going to tell us this right off. People don't want to hear that they're going to be in lockdown for 3 years, or that the world is going to change and the new method of all of us behaving is something that we never even imagined. The social distancing guidelines are going to be a permanent thing in the future of the world, mm-hmm. world citizens. Yeah. We have to learn to walk separately, mm-hmm. right? Don't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I have so many questions about this, and I jotted down a few of them right here in some notes, and I'm sure that a lot of people wonder the same thing. Allison, who's behind this?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Who?
Here's another question. Does Trump know what's going on? Because when he gives his daily briefings, it looks like he's on the side of his constituents and his supporters. He doesn't like this lockdown. He wants to open up the country. So it looks on the surface like he's the person on the side of the people, and he's against the villain, the villainous WHO, World Health Organization, or the CDC. He doesn't like these measures, so he complains about them. And then he tells us that at the same time, he has total authority. He has full authority, and the states must do what he says, and everyone must do what he says, because he is the law of the land. He said that. Allison, I think where I am right now, that we're watching one of those wrestling theatrical displays, you know, WWE, the villain and the good guy, the black hat and the white hat. We're watching all of that take place. But aside from that, the question is why? Who is behind it? Who are those men that came up with this plan? Were there some rich billionaires that the Rothschilds gathered together all their buddies in a smoke-filled room, and they lit each other's cigar and then cackled and giggled and looked at the PowerPoint presentation on the wall, and they were told how it's going to play out, and they all voted and went along with it? Is that how it happened? I don't know. Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not. But by common sense, we can see there's an agenda.
Yes.
You know, one of the questions that we have learned to ask is who stands to gain? When we see a false flag, who stands to gain? Who is behind it? Who is perpetuating the fake narrative, the fake news? Who's behind that? Who wrote the script? Did anyone have foreknowledge about this? Did Trump know this was coming? Before it started, I had no idea who Anthony Fauci was. That health virologist guy that keeps speaking. I did some study background check on him, Allison, and that guy's been around for 3 decades. He's one of the leaders of the National Institute of Health, and he is a part of the leadership Bill Gates Foundation.
Ooh, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Hmm.
Fauci and Bill Gates are buddies.
Hmm.
And Fauci made a comment in 2017, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said that we can expect during this administration for there to be a pandemic.
Yeah.
In other words, Donald Trump will be dealing with a pandemic in the next few years. Guaranteed.
So, wait a minute. He said that, huh?
He said that.
Guaranteed.
Yes. Fauci knew something. How did he know that? Well, it turns out, because, looking at this guy, it turns out that Fauci, through some decisions that he has made, was responsible and played a role in funding. Now, I'm in the middle of this research. Allison and I have been digging into the background of this, but it looks like Fauci, through the auspices of the National Institute of Health, funded a program and a project for a corona type of virus, a respiratory infection virus, to be developed and to be Frankensteined with chimera properties and parts, and you mix in a bunch of different parts of this thing. And we will get back with you as we get more information on this, ladies and gentlemen. But it looks like Fauci was responsible for funding and working with the Chinese government he subbed out some of the work on the coronavirus. So the United States came up with it, was developing it, was working on it, but they sent it to China. So the United States has been working with China on this virus, the coronavirus, and they Frankenstein pieces of HIV and MERS and SARS. And this thing is, when you start looking into the background of this, it's nefarious when we look at it, ladies and gentlemen. Allison, it looks so evil. Why in the world would they mess with this thing? And then this was in 2015 when he sent it to China to be worked on. And then 2 years later, he made the comment that Donald Trump, this administration, would be working with, oh, here it is right here. Allison, I have one of the reports right here that talks about Fauci disclosing that he was expecting a pandemic to occur during Trump's administration.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the statement that he made? There's no doubt.
Okay, Fauci, no doubt Trump will face a surprise infectious disease outbreak. This was January 11, 2017. This says, during a forum on pandemic preparedness at Georgetown University, Fauci said the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. The history of the last 32 years that I have been the director of the NIAID will tell the next administration that there is no doubt they will be faced with the challenges their predecessors were faced with, he said. And then it says here, we will definitely get surprised in the next few years, he said. Wow.
And how interesting is it that he's the poster boy that they're placing in front of the podium?
Yeah.
To give these daily briefings.
Wow.
With that in mind, Allison, you had a dream when we were in Berlin. And you mentioned it in the last program.
Yeah, I had two dreams. Yes, we were in Berlin and it was starting to get more serious. It was in February. And we were really wondering about this. And so two of us prayed and we asked God to reveal to us what's going on. What is this virus? And we asked him to show me in dreams, because that's how God likes to talk to me through dreams, what was going on, or to just give us some form of information, what was behind it. So I had that night, I had the first dream. And the next night, I had the next dream. So it was two consecutive dreams. And the first dream, I found myself in the United States. And I was basically just watching a scene. I was walking through streets. And it was a typical American suburb with pretty houses. But it seemed like everybody was on the streets. And they were pushing shopping carts the way you see homeless people pushing shopping carts with their belongings in them. And the people look completely surprised, overwhelmed. They were in a very panicky mode. They were basically pushing the only things that they were still allowed to have were their only belongings. They were pushing their only belongings in these shopping carts. It was chaotic. They were just pushing them in all sorts of directions.
Were they homeless?
It seemed like they were homeless. It seemed like they were homeless, or that they had lost everything. The only thing that they had was what they were wearing and pushing in their shopping carts. And I saw two people who, for me, outside of my dreams in my real life, are very wealthy people. I don't want to name them here, but I saw them, American citizens, and even they were completely surprised, taken by surprise, and everybody was looking at each other like, what happened? How could this happen?
In real life right now, they're millionaires, right?
But yes, they're millionaires. In real life, they're millionaires. But
they were destitute in your dream.
Destitute. They were in, this is the word that I would call the whole situation, or what I saw, it was destitute. They were all destitute, and they were surprised, shocked, and you could see the fear in their eyes and complete and utter desolation in their eyes. They didn't know what to do. That was the first dream.
I want to comment on something right now, because that's interesting. I remember when you told me about the dream, you used that word, everyone was destitute.
Yes, destitute. Yeah.
They lost everything.
Yeah,
they were destitute. Without. In the book of Revelation, you just read the four horsemen and the pale horse. In Revelation 6:8, it says, it was given to them to kill the fourth part of the world, to kill with the sword, which is war, with hunger and with death. And that word hunger in the original Greek means limos, which means scarcity of food and destitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that word means. And it's interesting that you saw people destitute, so they didn't have a lot of food with them, did they?
No.
You said they were shocked?
They were shocked.
Happened fast?
Yeah, they were shocked. You could just see the bewilderment in their faces.
Okay, so that was the first night, and then the second night.
The second night. Okay, the second night, this dream was, I was in an American city.
Oh, hold on. In your first dream, Corona was part of the dream.
Yeah, I knew that this was because of Corona. I just knew the situation had developed out of the Corona virus. Yeah.
Okay, so people became destitute because of Corona.
Yeah, it wasn't said explicitly in the dream, but you know, the way you know things in a dream without them being mentioned, I knew this was because of Corona.
Okay.
So the next night, the second dream happened. And in this dream, this was a very interesting dream. I found myself in a big city. It seemed like an American city to me. I was in a high rise, and there was an order for everybody to lock themselves in their houses, in their apartments. And you know how it is when there's a hurricane coming that people get boards and they protect the window panes, they nail them to the windows, attach them to the windows to protect the glass so that won't have a glass flying around when the wind gusts hit you. They ordered everybody to board up their windows. And so I was alone in this apartment and I had these huge windows. And so I covered them with what I remember to be cardboard and paper, dark paper, things like that, just to cover up the windows. And it was also said that we're not supposed to look outside. We were supposed to hide ourselves in the farthest corner from the windows. And so I could, in that apartment, feel, and I knew that everybody else in their houses were doing the same things. And everybody was in fear because this huge storm was coming. This government issue was telling us that this huge and terrible storm was coming. And that we had to protect ourselves. And so everybody was afraid. And so I huddled in the back of the room. And it was dark because the windows were covered. But there was, you know, just a little bit of light just slightly coming. And I heard these terrible winds. And they were slamming against the windows. And you could hear the rattling and the windows and these high winds. And I mean, it was really scary, these noises.
The room shake.
Everything. You could just feel the gusts of wind and it was almost like the house was shaking. But I was in this high rise. And so I was sitting in the back, and for some reason in the dream, I got up and I thought, I want to see this storm. I want to see what the storm is all about. And so I walked up to the windows and I started lifting a little bit of the protection away. And I looked out.
You peeked out.
I peeked out and I peeked and I couldn't see that much. So I tore a big piece off of the window. And what I saw was that there was no storm outside. It was just a little bit of wind and there were just a little bit of clouds, but you could still see the blue sky. And so I tore everything down. And when I tore that down, the noise, everything had stopped.
You ripped it all down.
I ripped it all off and I looked out and I could see all the other houses and all the other apartment buildings, windows, all closed up. And I looked out into the empty streets and just saw a little bit of wind and I saw a little leaf fly by. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't right. There's no storm. And that was the end of my dream.
And I remember you telling me this and I was thinking, hold on a second. Did the Holy Spirit show you, Allison, that this is all a hoax? And so we put that on the table, right? We wondered about it.
Mm-hmm. So we were really thinking about that. For me, it was clear. You know how you know a dream is from God? You just know. I knew that. And since we had asked God to show us or to show me, I mean, he delivered that night and the next night. And that was really the only time in the last 2 months that I've had any dream like that. And it was right after we asked.
But it was very telling. So now let's put those on the table. And I do bear witness, by the way, Allison, mm-hmm. with you that these were from the Lord. The first one, destitution, is going to come because of Corona. And we see that happening now.
Mm-hmm.
We see the unemployment rate. It doesn't include self-employed people or service type people or mom and pop owned businesses, which I heard another report could be another 20 to 23 million people. So with 22 million, they're saying the unemployment rate is already 15%. But if we throw in the others, we're beyond 20 to 25% unemployment. At the height of the Great Depression, it hovered around 19 to 20%. And then for a few months, it hit 24%, I believe. That's what I read when I was researching, but we're already beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
We're beyond the Great Depression, and this is the United States, and we're just getting started. I saw another report, Allison, that the unemployment rate could hit 40 to 50% of the country. And this is just the United States. What about other countries? What about Europe? What about second and third world countries?
Wow.
The world's going to be ravaged. And now they're saying that this thing's going to go down to Africa because the way the shift is in the hemispheres. So we have your first dream, everyone was destitute. But in the second dream, here's what's interesting. The fear that was told to everyone and the preparation that they did, and then somehow the theater was there and the wind was there and it was dark. But whenever you sought the truth, it was revealed that it was all a lie.
Yeah.
It was manufactured. It's a hoax, in other words. So we're being, theater's happening, mm-hmm. Allison, according to what the Lord showed you. So we held on to that. We put it in our pockets and we contemplated it. We pondered it. And then we observed current events where the lockdown occurred. We saw the numbers. We saw initially when we're in Berlin, we were trying to make sense to verify your dream.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, we were not hearing that it was a hoax. Instead, mm-hmm. we were seeing the opposite.
Yes.
We saw scary videos.
Yeah, we saw these terrible videos out of Italy and, you know, still also the ones in China. It was scary. So everybody was still in that freak out mode.
People falling dead.
Yeah.
From China in the subway, blood, head hitting. Yeah. And then we saw the ICU video from Italy mm-hmm. and then Spain and then the ERs and the chaos. And then we started seeing them in New York at first, right? So we're being careful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everyone's afraid. But then over the last few weeks, some leaks have been coming out
mm-hmm.
from people who are also trying to make sense of this thing. And God bless those who are doing this, trying to make sense of this. Allison, it looks like this thing's a hoax.
Well, we're not saying that this virus is a completely non-event. And we're not saying that. We know that there is something out there. But they are forging the numbers. Definitely are.
Okay, so what do we have so far? We do have that there's a virus, a corona-type infection.
Mm-hmm.
The question is it as fatal as they're telling us? Are the symptoms as bad as what they're telling us? Who really is it actually affecting or hurting or injuring or killing?
Mm-hmm.
Are the numbers as true as they're telling us? And those are the questions that we have been asking. And over the last few weeks, we have run across some information that, okay, there is a virus. They are using a villain.
Mm-hmm.
The virus is the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
So in your dream, the wind mm-hmm. was blowing. But was the wind as powerful as what we were being told? Because when you pulled it back, you saw the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was shining.
The sun was shining. There was still blue sky. And there was a little bit of wind, yes. But it was by no means a storm or anything scary. It was just a little bit of wind.
So what do we gather from that? Well, we've come across some information that points to the possibility, and I don't want to say with absolute, Allison, because it's fluid. We're trying to figure this out, right? But Exhibit A, B, and C, we're trying to use the process of reason, deductive reasoning with evidence, and I don't want to jump to conclusions and say yes or no way, because that's not a wise investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the, so we have to be smart on this. So here's some of the reasons for why people are getting sick are a number of things. And to this point, I don't have a conclusion, but I'll go ahead and say it. Now, one of them, I've been contacted by a number of people, Allison, about the 5G rollout and that the damage to people's bodies and the reason they're getting sick is because 5G wave frequencies have been affecting people and causing it, they're triggering something to happen in their body that's not being caused by a virus. It's actually something else. That's still on the table. That's still to be determined. And I don't want to say it is or it's not. I do have some opposing questions about why I have doubted that it's 5G. And Allison, you and I have spoken privately many, many times, and I have always told you this. If something is happening and I am not aware of it, or if I'm ignorant of it,
mm-hmm.
I'm open to learning about it. And my philosophy has changed my mind. So,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there's enough evidence to point that it is 5G, and then it will change my mind. I don't want to have cognitive dissonance to deny and just be in denial of something that may be happening. One of the reasons that I do struggle with whether it's 5G is because I don't think the 5G towers have been in the proximity of some of the places that, for example, that ship
mm-hmm.
that was out in the ocean, the cruise ship.
Yeah.
I don't think 5G was out in the ocean.
No.
An aircraft carrier had several hundred sailors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think 5G was on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
So there's some areas of the country that have been struck. I've heard some people argue, well, it's in New York. They rolled it out in New York. So that's why New York is getting bombarded. But at the same time, there are other areas that are rural where there are nursing homes where people are getting sick, where 5G has not been rolled out
mm-hmm.
entirely to its capacity of the level that it's going to function at. So that's one of the reasons at this point why I am still undecided on whether it's 5G. And I don't want to say it's not, but at this point, I'm trying to use common sense. And I don't want to just blame it on something that it's not, but that's one of the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Another one is that it is a manufacturer. And I do believe this. I do believe that something was released in Wuhan, whether it was the American government through rogue elements or a combination of working together with China, or whether it was China released it on accident or on purpose. I don't know that yet, but those are all on the table. I would not put it past the CIA doing it, or the United States government, or whatever rogue elements, spooks, or mercenaries that would do something like that to further the agenda of the New World Order. I don't know. But that one is also on the table. But the bottom line is something got released and people are being exposed to it. So some people are succumbing to it. So if that's the case, if it did come from a lab in Wuhan, if they started working on it, Frankensteining the segments of it to make it deadly, and then they handed it off to China. At first, I wondered, remember, Allison, we wondered if it was race specific?
Yeah, because it's...
At first?
Yeah.
China?
Yeah, because it didn't seem like other people were getting infected besides Asian people, but that changed quickly.
To Italy and Spain. But then it became elderly people.
Yes, elderly people.
In Italy and Spain, which, by the way, the ones that were dying in China were also elderly. And then it showed up almost overnight in a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington. And now they're saying it's in hundreds of nursing homes and thousands of elderly are dying in nursing homes all over the country. There was one report that a nursing home, I don't remember if this was in Florida or Jersey, I don't remember the exact location, but they said there was a nursing home with 17 dead elderly. No one wanted to even touch them. The employees said, we're not touching them. They're infected. People don't even want to deal with that and deal with the elderly. But then what do we see a pattern here? Elderly people are succumbing. At first, we heard this, and young weren't.
Well, and then they said that young people were succumbing to it as well, because younger people weren't adhering to all the rules, and that they were still mingling and still going to parties. And then it was people with diabetes, people that are overweight, people who are smokers, pre-existing conditions. I mean, it's very seldom that you hear that somebody who was completely healthy succumb to it.
Okay, and now we're hearing, because you have heard yourself, right? And we've heard personally, we keep hearing the same thing. And you even sent me, you shared with me from the CDC, they have their guidelines for how to determine whether someone should be
classified as being a coronavirus patient or not. And doctors have been given information that if it's not clear that the patient has corona, they don't need to be tested. But the mere suspicion to have corona just has to have one of the symptoms or some of the symptoms already classifies them as being a corona patient, and that the doctor, when they write their reports, have to report them as being coronavirus patients.
Yes, and we have been hearing from doctors, from nurses. Were you told personally by some as well?
Yeah, as soon as the patient exhibits some form of symptom. And when we look at the list of symptoms, that spectrum is getting larger and larger every day. I mean, you know, you have the fever, you have shortness of breath, you have fatigue, then you have people that losing taste, losing
smell,
you know, diarrhea, all these
nausea.
Things, nausea. And, you know, you just have to say that maybe you're feeling fatigue and you have nausea and boom, you're a coronavirus patient. This could be symptoms for a load of other things. They are cooking the books on the numbers.
They are. And we've heard from firsthand accounts of some individuals who went to the doctor with symptoms. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. One person, you showed me a video of a girl, and she told the doctor said, how do you feel? I can't smell. Okay, you have corona. And he sent her home and he told her to quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
No test.
No testing. There's no testing. And yet they're being classified as corona patients. Also, what has been happening is that people who have been tested and they show up as having corona, even if they have other conditions that have been with them for a long time and they have had problems with these conditions and they come to the hospitals because of these underlying conditions that they've been having for a long time and they have problems and they die of these underlying conditions, the mere fact that they have been tested and that they have been somehow been in contact with the coronavirus, they are classified as victims of the coronavirus,
and
even if they haven't died of the classic symptoms and they haven't been put on respirators or anything.
Some of the accounts we're hearing are absurd, aren't they?
Yes.
Someone has a heart attack. They're choking. They died of corona.
They died of corona.
Car wreck. They died of corona.
Yeah. Also, it's the hospitals are getting a lot of funds. As soon as they put somebody on respirators, that means a lot of money for them. That doctors are making a lot of money by classifying patients as coronavirus patients. And as soon as they put them on respirators, they get a lot of money.
I think I saw that when a hospital does hook someone up to a ventilator, the hospital gets federal funding of $39,000.
Yes.
For hooking them up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you sent me this report right here. It's from the National Vital Statistics System. It comes from the CDC, I believe, and it says there's a new ICD code introduced for COVID-19 deaths. This email is to alert you that a newly introduced ICD code has been implemented to accurately capture mortality data for coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, on death certificates. Please read carefully and forward this email to the state statistical staff in your office who are involved in the preparation of mortality data. So this is telling the doctors or whoever, the mortician, what to write down.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the WHO, World Health Organization, has provided a secondary mortality code for clinical diagnosis of COVID-19 where a laboratory confirmation is inconclusive or not available. And because laboratory test results are not typically reported on death certificates in the United States, they should be implemented immediately. So it says the underlying cause can be applied to this code. So even if there's no data to confirm,
mm-hmm.
they're writing down that it was a COVID death.
Yeah.
This is insanity. This is the hoax that you were, that the Lord showed you in the dream.
And yes, of course, there are people that have died because of it, just like people have died of the flu because they are weak already when they get it. So that does happen. But the numbers that they are throwing at us don't seem to really reflect the reality of what is going on.
They don't. Now, we looked up the Spanish flu and the death rate was, what, 10% around
there? It was between 5 and 10%.
Of the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
The World Health Organization stated, they claimed that when it first happened, there was a 3.5, and then mm-hmm. they raised it to 4.5. Mm-hmm. However, in the last few days, there have been some cities and some counties that have done testing to find out how many people actually have it. Mm-hmm. And there's one county, and I don't remember the exact one in particular. I can follow up later with that. But they were able to find out that the true number of those who have been exposed to corona and maybe infected with it, got over it, or they have antibodies, they were asymptomatic, they didn't experience anything negative, that the numbers are actually 40 to 80 times higher than what was initially told. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, let's say if they say 1,000 people have it and 4 people died, or 40 people died, then they would say that that's a 4% death rate, 40 out of 1,000. But if the true number of infected was 80,000, then the number goes below 1%.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as the regular flu.
Yeah.
So.
And if it is just a, like, you know, virus like that, it does spread very fast. And it probably means that so many people have already had it or they're carrying it and they're asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you would count all the people who truly have been in contact with this thing and have probably contracted it already and haven't had any major problems, the death rate compared to the number of people who truly are infected, the percentage goes
much lower.
Way down, way down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to downplay this because there's a possibility some of the listeners might know someone, Allison.
Yes.
And we're not trying to minimize, but what we do want to do is put some sensibility and reason and common sense to this thing, and also offset the fear that is striking God's people.
Well, because the thing is, all these measures that are taking place, are they really
to keep us safe and
necessary
healthy?
And to keep us healthy? That is the question. I just read something today about the Italian doctors and the government. They're checking their numbers now. They're going back and looking at all those claimed corona cases, and they're finding out now when they look at the data on patients, most of those cases, the people didn't actually die of the coronavirus. They died of all of their pre-existing conditions. And all those numbers that they threw out there weren't really the people. People weren't really dying because of corona. Italy has a notoriously bad health system. They have a lot of older people. This stay-at-home order, of course, caused a lot of elderly people who were weak, who were sick. They were kept from actually getting help. The thing is, in Italian hospitals, they are usually always understaffed. So what we were seeing is, okay, it might not be as terrible as they were saying, but of course, people who were being rushed that actually did have some form of symptoms, it just completely overwhelmed the system. It didn't mean that everybody in the hospital was dying of corona. It was just that the people who were showing up with symptoms on top of the people who were already there was just overwhelming the complete system in Italy.
So the official story, a lot of people are now starting to ask questions and notice that the numbers are being skewed, aren't they? They're being faked. They're being cooked.
They're being cooked.
So the question is why?
Why?
What's going on? And, you know, we can now look at the end game. We're hearing the whispers from the Gates Foundation and Anthony Fauci, who has stated that the end game is a vaccine for the entire planet.
Yes.
And also measures to follow and monitor who has received the vaccine and who has not. Also, we are hearing that certain societal and financial privileges may be attached to whether or not someone has received the vaccine. So what's the end game? It looks like this is something that's going to be used to corral the entire planet and to be able to monitor every citizen of the whole world.
I mean, it's very, very smart to use something like a virus because nobody wants to see other people die. Nobody wants their grandma or their mom or their kids to get sick. So everybody's in fear of this virus. They're starting to call it the enemy. You know, in speeches, they talk about the enemy. We're facing an enemy. So this is a common denominator for everybody. Everybody's looking at this enemy. And anybody who dares to speak out against it is automatically ostracized because how dare you say anything about this and say that this is maybe this maybe not be right because you are endangering all of us.
And what is this doing to the behavior patterns of people all around? Allison, you told me you've been talking to your friends in Germany and some of your associates, former colleagues, and in order to feel secure and safe, they're going along with it, and it does make them feel safer, and they're okay with it.
It does make them feel safer, but what it's doing is it's raising up a new generation of people who are snitching on each other. I hear from Germany now that people are spying on their neighbors, and if their neighbor has somebody over their house and it's not, he's not part of the family, the neighbors call the cops on that person. People are snitching on each other and spying on each other. I've heard reports out of California that people are being arrested for ridiculous reasons. People who are paddling out on the ocean in the middle of nowhere are getting arrested because they're not locked up at home. The governor has actually, what was it, the governor, I guess, who said that people are supposed to call in.
They're encouraging.
Encouraging people.
Anyone escaping their solitary confinement needs to call the proper authorities because those antisocial are endangering all of us.
So they're going to be enemies of the state.
Insurrectionists. So the corralling is occurring now. Here we go. So this thing, as I stated, ladies and gentlemen, is in real time. And Allison, it looks like the end result of this will be a beast that in Revelation 13, we see the beast rise up. It's united. The entire planet is on the same page with this thing. And okay, where are we in the end times? And you know, and we've discussed this, Allison. Yes. Where are we? Where's the timeline? What marker can we look at to kind of illustrate or show us where we are in the time frame of the end times? One of the big things that we can anticipate and look toward is the rise of the beast system, one world system, where the world becomes works together, and it looks like it's going to be through the corona measures of safety and security to vaccinate the entire planet and also to corral the whole planet and to index every citizen with whether they are they're compliant or not. Are they willing to be chipped with this RFID, which Bill Gates talked about, a digital vaccine marker of some sort?
2030 agenda, yeah.
Thank you. The 2030 agenda. There is an agenda, ladies and gentlemen, that the United Nations is working toward of sustainable development to corral the entire planet. And they're giving themselves 10 more years. And the end game of that, and you can go to the UN website and it says in order to get there, the end game is going to be that the world will have a multilateral New World Order. It'll have several branches or heads, East and West type of organizing, East and West. So China and Russia will work with the United States and the West. So both of them together will have to come up with this new system. It says that on their website, and it also says there needs to be a new financial system. That's in the UN website. Allison, I was reading that to you before we started recording. And if that's the case, that means that the old order, the old financial order, needs to be demolished. Yeah. So a controlled demolition of the worldwide financial system is in play right now. We can see that. It's beyond argument. That's happening right now. What is the end game of this? It looks like in order to reboot the whole world with a new operating system, a governmental operating system, they have to get rid of the old one and crash it and burn it and dismantle it. And that's going to be painful. Part of the plan also is to level out the playing field of the power structure of nations throughout the world. And the nations that are on top of the mountain are going to be purposely brought down a few notches, which means the United States is going to be thrown into a depression that's going to, I guess, humble those Americans who believe that they're proud and the leaders of the world and on top of the world. And this thing's going to be painful. We see the development of it. We see it coming to fruition. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of things. We're going to be talking about this a lot in the future. The stimulus check, that's just the beginning phase of this thing. Two checks, $1,200 each is not enough. Now they're proposing a regular payment of several thousand dollars per household, a universal equal payment system, which is that socialism?
Yeah, and the question is, who's going to get it? Is everybody going to get it, or are you going to have to adhere to certain things in order to get it? So are people going to be destitute enough that they will be willing to go along with new imposed rules and regulations and maybe be coerced into taking, maybe vaccines,
And their children too. And what's in that vaccine?
Right.
What does it do? By the way, I was reading an article, Allison, about the vaccine, a new type of vaccine they're working on alters the DNA of the recipient. It doesn't work on the old way. The virus is made weaker and we inject it and then our bodies can deal with it. It's actually a DNA vaccine. I showed that to you.
Yes.
And we were having dinner the other night and that's another thing that's we're going to be talking about that. There's so much to talk about, Allison, and I know our time is running thin, but I wanted to end with one more thing. When we were in Berlin, you were sent a paper by a friend of yours, and it was published by the German, Bundestag?
Bundestag, yeah.
17th parliamentary term, and it was published in 2012. Mm-hmm. It's in German. You sent it to me, so I ran it through Google Translate, and I was looking at this thing, and it had two scenarios for possible events that could strike Germany and also the world. And the two events, the scenarios were a flood and a pandemic. So I was reading this, and you showed it to me, and I couldn't believe it because you were showing me some of the things that were in here, and it's like, what?
And this is a paper from the federal parliament.
From the German government.
Federal parliament. This is a paper. 2012.
From 2012. And I want to just read.
It has a couple of scenarios. Mm-hmm. And on page 55, I believe that's where it starts.
Yes,
page 55. It starts with the scenario of a pandemic in Germany.
It says that the pandemic, the possible pandemic that was going to come was going to be a novel pathogen pandemic that was going to be related to severe acute respiratory syndrome or SARS. It says that this is going to, I just have it right here. This is on page 57. The scenario describes an unusual epidemic that occurs on the spread of a novel pathogen-based hypothetical pathogen. And it's very closely based to the SARS virus. SARS is what was a disease that China had a few years ago. It was respiratory and it killed a number of people, but it stayed in China.
It's also a coronavirus.
It says the past has demonstrated that pathogens with novel properties that are serious epidemic triggers can occur suddenly. So it calls it the SARS coronavirus or the COV, the corona novel COV. That's the same name they have, the SARS COV scenario. And it says it would start with, in the hypothetical situation, it said it would enter Germany from two people that visited China. Mm-hmm. One of the persons would enter Germany through the north, and then one in the south was a college student, but the one in the north was related to a trade show. Mm-hmm. When we were in Berlin, Allison, and it showed up, and there was just four people. You remember mm-hmm. then?
Yes.
Four people. That was it. It started in the North and the South.
Yep, exactly.
From some college students that were in China.
Yeah.
But the person that was infected in the South was actually a Chinese person that yes. came from college. But it says in this report, it would be a college student in the South. And that's what it was. It also goes in and it says that it would be transmitted through the respiratory tract, and the hypothetical virus, the simulation calls it the SARS-CoV, and the incubation period. Now get this, Allison. It says the incubation period occurs from a period of 2 to 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Within 14 days, they know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is written in 2012.
Yes.
What are they telling people now the quarantine amount is? 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
This says 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all infected people fall ill within that time period. The symptoms are dry cough and a fever.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of patients have shortness of breath and chills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what they're saying.
Tom Hanks announced that him and Rita
yeah.
announced they had it. And he says, we had chills.
Yes.
And fever.
Fatigue. And, yeah.
The same symptoms as right here. Okay. It says the mortality rate is up to 10%. However, there's two age groups. Children and adolescents usually have mild disease courses, mm-hmm. and they're over it very quickly. While lethality mm-hmm. is 50% for people over 65.
Yes.
So elderly people succumb, young people don't. This is written in 2012, Allison. How yes. did they know this? This is from the German government. Younger patients often have the infection after just overcome it in 1 week. Okay, so it goes into this, and then it says that the vaccine will not be available for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that they're talking about by the fall. They're saying we could yeah. have it between by the fall or 18 months, so 6 to 18 months. It also says right here that they expect for it to have three waves
mm-hmm.
over the course of 3 years.
Yes.
Which is what we're hearing now.
What we're hearing now, yes.
It also says that it started in an animal market in Southeast Asia.
Southeast China.
That's where Wuhan is, in Southeast China.
Yeah. In Southeast China.
In an animal market with animals.
Animal market. Mm-hmm.
So look at this right here. The pathogen, Allison, it's...
The pathogen originates from Southeast Asia, where the pathogen found in wild animals via markets was transferred to humans. Mm-hmm.
Now, there are too many parts of this thing that are just... It's like, what?
This is crazy. Yeah.
So this report came out in 2012. The German government put it out, and it aligns up with exactly what we're witnessing right mm-hmm. now. It talked about the measures, the lockdown that would mm-hmm. occur. It would affect, there would be bottlenecks in different categories of commerce. Mm-hmm. Some of them would be entirely turned off, but yeah, supermarkets.
I'll read it up. It says here, the infection protection measures. Means of containment include school closures and cancellation of major events. In addition to these measures taken after the Infection Protection Act can be arranged, there are further recommendations to the personal protection. For example, an occupationally exposed person, such as compliance with hygienic recommendations, etc. And lockdown between 48 and 408 days, generally described as effective.
For a year.
Yeah.
The lockdown.
For over a year. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have been hearing from some individuals who claim they have some information, insider information. You know, a lot of people say they know a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been hearing hints that they're not going to tell us that the lockdown is going to last a year or
no.
6 months.
No.
So they're giving it to us in little spoon-fed portions.
Yeah.
It's only for a month.
Just so they won't have an insurrection.
Exactly. So now that we're getting to the end of April, now some states have pushed it to the end of May.
Yeah.
What's the end game of this? The longer the lockdown lasts, the more destructive the world economy is mm-hmm. going to suffer. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are in, as I stated, this thing's fluid. It's in real time. And we are watching something that is unprecedented. We have never witnessed anything like this
yeah.
in modern history. And they're telling us this. So how do we deal with this, Allison? How do we navigate? What's the proper measures we should be doing with the end result? Jesus said, watch
yes.
and pray. And he starts out Matthew 24 by saying, do not be deceived.
Yes.
Now, There's another thing that's mentioned in Luke 21, which is the sister chapter of Matthew 24. In Luke 21, Jesus also goes into the end times. But he includes a verse, and I mentioned this in the last program, and I want to end with this, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
In 21:19, I believe it says, in your patience,
mm-hmm.
possess ye your souls. And a few days ago, you and I were talking about that. You remember that?
Yes.
And we actually dissected it and went further because, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. In our patience, which is the way that we're supposed to behave. By the way, that word means steadfastness, perseverance, endurance, hanging in there. Our focus should remain in Jesus, not giving up, hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
In our endurance, we will possess our souls. In our patience, to hang in there and not allow ourselves to get in the flesh, to not freak out. In other words, Allison, we have to be grown-ups.
Yes.
We have to behave.
It already seems like people are being divided up in two camps. The people who are growing in their love towards one another by helping one another. There's all these reports of people helping out the elderly, going shopping for them, leaving food at the doorsteps, things like that. And then you hear these reports of people who are freaking out, spitting on food, coughing in the faces of elderly. I hear from my sister and my friends in Germany that there are youth and young people going around saying that, oh, this is a good time for the culling of the old people. And to get rid of all of them, and people, kids and younger people are walking around and coughing on purpose into the faces of the elderly who are on their way to the supermarket to get some of their provisions and telling them, now you have corona, now you have to die. Things like that are going on. One of my friend's mother actually witnessed at the supermarket, this woman tore open the toilet paper and spit on it.
Because she was told only one per
only
person.
One, so that the one that she had to put back or the ones that she spit, she ruined it for everybody else. So this is showing that this whole thing is dividing up the people, really.
And it's showing the hearts of
men. The hearts of people. So it seems like, you know, the evil are becoming more evil and the good are becoming more good. So
now, Allison, I want to take it a little bit further. And yeah, we're running out of time, but I want to just mention this. And get your thoughts on this, because mm-hmm. we talked about it. Okay, in your patience, possess you, your soul. We possess our own soul if we have endurance and we behave how we're supposed to. What's the opposite of that? Okay, if we don't behave with patience, then what he said, you possess your soul. So that means we don't possess our soul.
Who possesses our soul?
Who possesses it, Allie? Right? So let's take that even further. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the beast system is going to rise up. The beast system. When we look into the Old Testament, and I have been sharing this for 10 years, 12 years, about the judgment, the fourfold judgment, how it works, how it transpires in the Bible. We can go to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel talks about the fourfold judgment. He says, the Lord says for the country, the nation, the people that do not repent, he will send fourfold judgment. He will send famine,
mm-hmm.
pestilence, the sword, and then evil beasts. Noisome beasts is the word that is used, which means evil beasts. And when we translate that to the New Testament, we have the beast rising up.
Mm-hmm.
We have the beast kingdom in Daniel that talks about. We have a snapshot of the end time Antichrist leader. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy, remember? And he went and ate grass and grew hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He got taken over by demons.
Demons, yeah.
He lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end times, the beast, in the Old Testament, it was animals attacking. But in the New Testament, because Revelation 18:2 says, Babylon has become the prison of every foul spirit of demons and hateful birds, of demons, creatures. Mm-hmm. We have in Revelation 9, the release of the locusts,
mm-hmm.
demons.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Euphrates River,
mm-hmm.
the key to the bottomless pit, those angels,
demons.
Apollyon.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be demons lurking invisibly
mm-hmm.
walking the earth during the end times.
Yes.
And this is what I'm trying to say. Ladies and gentlemen, please think about this. You know, we can't see the virus. It's tiny unless we have an electron microscope. But aside from that, you know, people have been prepping with their guns, with their mm-hmm. sidearms and all the preppers. God bless them
mm-hmm.
for the bad looters and thieves that would come around. But aside from them, God is going to allow, because it says in Revelation 13 that Satan was allowed to make war with the saints.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan is going to use his beast creatures.
Yeah, his army.
His army of these creatures. So when these creatures go out, that's why Jesus said, by your patience, you possess your souls. That was a hint, ladies and gentlemen, to possess your soul. We need to do everything we can to be full of the word of God and behave in a righteous manner so that those creatures, Allison, do demons want to infect people and vex people and demonize people?
Yes.
What are the possibilities that we're looking at here?
Yes.
Right?
That's what they do. They want to possess bodies. They want to possess people and keep them from doing what is good. They want to ruin their lives, everything.
So that's one of the battles that I don't think we hear very much about.
No.
You know, because most people were planning not to even be here during this time.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, side note, ladies and gentlemen, the rapture hasn't happened, and the first horseman has been released.
Ooh.
And if those other things are going to be occurring, I don't think the church was ready for the strategies to go through this time period. So this is in real time. We have to do a fast track boot camp, get ready for the tribulation, Allison.
Yes.
And that's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Allison and I are going to be bringing you our thoughts from the wall, our warnings from the wall, and the things that we pray about, the things that we find in Scripture. Because as God's people, as God's remnant, the bottom line is he who endures to the end will be saved. And if it was possible, even the elect would be deceived. So it is our duty. It's our charge. And if you're a parent, if you are a leader in your family, if people look to you to be a protector, mm-hmm. and the majority of our listeners are, Allison,
mm-hmm.
they have family members, they have loved ones, they have friends, and there are people who are looking at them. Ladies and gentlemen, be the testimony, be the example,
yes,
and hold on to this verse. In our patience,
yes,
we possess our souls. And by us possessing our souls, then we hand it over to Jesus.
Amen.
Not demons. We don't want the creepy crawlers, Allison. We don't want those.
No.
Those creatures of the night lurking. And, you know, it's interesting that some people would, there's a lot of YouTubes. A few years ago, people were expecting the Nephilim to show up and wreak havoc. A Nephilim, you know, a 9 feet tall guy coming down the street with two rows of teeth, they're easy to spot and to be warned, right?
Yes.
That one's easy. And that one's kind of fun. Target practice, right? You can shoot the Nephilim. But what if they're invisible?
Right.
Deception is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And now these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So we have homework to do, Allison.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have homework. So that is our message to bring to you. We have a lot more coming. Hang in there. Now more than ever, it is so important to be making sure that we hear the voice of God. We have the mind of Christ, and we are open to try to have wisdom. That's the challenge, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be wise. Daniel 12 says it. The wise will understand. The wise. So I know there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of theatrical hat tricks going on.
Yes.
There's snake oil. There's deception. But now more than ever, we need to be wise. QAnon's a liar. QAnon is a big, fat liar. I've run across this. Some people sent me some videos from Mark Taylor sharing that we have to follow the plan of QAnon. And you know, QAnon keeps telling people that follow the plan, trust the plan.
Right.
Because during
trust
this
Trump.
Yeah, trust Trump. And during this lockdown, he's telling people that the pedophiles are going to get arrested. That's why all this is going on.
Right.
The entire planet is being
in
lockdown to arrest some pedophiles.
Exactly.
In America.
Uh-huh.
That's just absurd. Folks, don't believe those lies.
By the way, nobody's talking about Epstein anymore, right? And what was back there. Nobody cares anymore.
Nobody cares about that.
Right.
And Allison, your thoughts on Mark Taylor's prophecy that America would be made seven times greater and all the blessings were going to come and all of those claims he made that was made into that DVD?
Well, that's the Christianity that believes that God does not judge. And the whole world is under judgment.
The whole world right now.
And America is also under judgment because America has been given so much. It has a huge role in the world. And I love America. I do. I love the American people. I am an American also. And I don't want to see America burn. I don't want to see America under judgment. But I have to accept it that we did wrong. We were given a lot, and the way it says in the Bible, those who have received a lot, you know, God expects a lot of them. And we have allowed wars, we have allowed and condoned so many bad and evil things, so many bad things come out of the United States, so many precious little babies have been killed, mm-hmm. and all from a so-called Christian nation. Mm-hmm. So we have to accept that America is under judgment, just as every other country currently is under judgment. We are not separate from the world. We are very worldly, very, very worldly. And this feel-good Christianity, that God is only a loving God, that he never judges, that is false.
And we're seeing it now, aren't we?
We're seeing it now. And, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen. So that... I don't want to spend too much time on the Mark Taylor thing, but I just want to throw that out there that it was amazing, Allison. Just a few days ago, he's still out there doing shows saying, and he's telling people to trust QAnon and to trust Trump. It's good that Trump is giving these press releases every day because we need to just listen to what Trump has to say and nobody else.
I mean, everybody who has half a brain should know by now that Mark Taylor is not a prophet. I mean, if we would have to judge him by the Old Testament rules, we would have to take him out and stone him.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to do that? No, of course not. But people, open your eyes.
Right.
You can't keep twisting your prophecies to fit the agenda or to fit what's going on. Either your prophecies that were correct or they were false, but you can't keep twisting and making it somehow fit.
We're in the end times. Here we are. So Allison, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate all of you who are listening, please share this program with everyone that you know, and we're going to have a continuation of this thing. This is going to be part two. Part three is coming out after this. There's so much that we're going to be bringing, and I'm pretty sure that next week we're going to have even more news, Allison, mm-hmm. and then the following week, the financial challenges that are coming. Mm-hmm. We need to encourage one another, but number one, ladies and gentlemen, find your hiding place. Find Jesus. The dwelling place, make him yours, make him personally yours. It's time for repentance. It's time to get back to our first love. Mm-hmm. It's time to return to our first love and cleaning out the dusty shelves, right, Allison? Those mm-hmm. closets and drawers that are dusty. It's time for a spring cleaning. And mm-hmm. that's what Jesus wants from us. Mm-hmm. He will not turn any of us away. Yeah. Nobody. His mercies are new every morning. His loving kindness reaches to the clouds, it says in Lamentations. Mm-hmm. So he's ready to forgive and to strengthen and to protect. So
amen.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Hang in there, ladies and gentlemen, but let's be wise. Let's have our eyes mm-hmm. open.
Yes.
And
sober and vigilant.
Sober and vigilant. Amen. And if you appreciate what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, we continue to do this through your support. So we do need your support and your prayers. Mm-hmm. So those of you that are able to, we do appreciate what you're able to do to help us continue this work. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to the website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. We also have a YouTube channel, Watchman's Cry, and all these audios are placed on YouTube. And we also have a Facebook page. I have my personal Facebook page, Nathan Leal, L-E-A-L, and it also says Watchman's Cry, and Allison has her page as well, Allison Leal. So those of you who want to join us there from time to time, you can see what we have to say and what we're sharing with our lives and the things that we're doing. So ladies and gentlemen, we love you. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate the prayers, the support, the kind words, and also I want to say thank you for all of those of you who have welcomed Allison into my family.
And I want to thank all of the sweet letters and cards that I received. They were very, very nice. And
amen.
Thank you for all the support. I really, really enjoyed reading them, and they have a special place in my heart.
Amen. Yes, yes, Allison. And with that, we're going to be going. So stay safe, stay healthy, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.